Parshas Nasoi opens with a continued focus on the census taking and the division of responsibilities of the Levite family. And then in the third reading, having concluded all of the census and all of the division of responsibilities and all of the apportioning and details about the camp, we return to the original story, which began a year earlier when the Beis HaMikdash or Mishkan was first established. So the first part of the third reading is about the purification of the camp, about those who don't belong near the Mishkan for whatever reason being sent out. And then the second section of the third reading is about a particular kind of infraction, a sin, when somebody takes Hashem's name in vain, and when people take advantage of others, and the special halachas about the restitution that has to be made, and a korban, a unique offering. And then the Torah begins to address that which is rightfully supposed to go to the Kohen. And we've already mentioned this. This has been mentioned right after Matan Torah, after the Torah was given. Long, long before the Mishkan was established, in Parshas Mishpatim, we talked about firstling fruits. So a farmer comes out and he enters his orchard, and he reviews the trees, and he sees the first blossoms. First blossoms. He's going to take those blossoms and mark them. And when those blossoms turn into fruit, then they have to be specially set aside. He actually is supposed to verbalize and say, "Hareza bikurim, these are bikurim," sets them aside, and he brings them to Yerushalayim, to the holy city of Jerusalem. We didn't hear about what's done with it. We just know he's supposed to bring it to Yerushalayim. So the Torah now returns to the subject of firstling fruit, which is a fortuitous follow-up to the holiday of Shavuot, which is also, amongst other things, known as Chag HaBikurim. We talk about it's the festival of firstling fruits. This is when the firstling fruit could first be brought to the Beis HaMikdash only after Shavuot arrives. And on Shavuot, as we discussed on numerous occasions, the fruits are judged. Hashem judges the fruits. And that's one of the reasons there's a custom that some have to place tree branches in the Beit HaKnesset to remind us to daven for the fruits, because the fruits are a feature in the holiday of Shavuot. So let's talk about this first in fruit. This is a most fortuitous follow-up to Shavuos, which is Chag HaBikurim. And we're going to talk about the Bikurim in chapter 5. And the verse we're looking at today is verse 9. V'chol teruma, and all teruma. Now the word teruma comes from the Hebrew word laharim, which means to raise up. So you have a collection of whatever it might be, and you could raise up or set aside a certain portion of whatever it is, and say, this is going to go for a higher purpose. That's the literal meaning of the word teruma, laharim, to lift up, to separate from the rest, and to lift something up. So the Torah says, v'chol teruma, all teruma, L'chol kodshei b'nei Yisrael, for all of sanctified things that come from b'nei Yisrael, asher yakrivu l'kohen, which are going to be brought to the Kohen, lo yihye, lo without a vav, not an aleph, lo with a vav, to him it shall be. What is this talking about? So let's take a look now in Rashi, who says, v'chol teruma goymer. So we know that he's not only explaining the word teruma, but when you have the word goymer, etc., we know that Rashi's his ideas are going to apply to a broader swath of this particular verse. And Rashi explains, Omar Rabbi Yishmael taught, v'chi teruma makriven l'kohen. Does teruma get brought to the Kohen? So just a reminder, teruma is when a person harvests his field. So you have grain, you have olives, you have grapes. A certain portion has to be set aside and given to the Kohen. What's exactly the portion? So this is not so simple. It can be anywhere from a 60th to a 40th. So let's go with 1/50th. Let's go with 2%. 2% is set aside and 2% is given to the Kohen. Is it taken to the Kohen, the 2%? It isn't. It isn't. The Kohen actually has to come and pick it up. So this is what Rabbi Yishmael asked. He says, v'chol teruma, l'chol kodshei b'nei Yisrael, all the teruma for the sanctified matter, things which are set aside for a holy purpose on Bnei Yisrael, asher yakrivu l'kohen, that he brings to the kohen, he doesn't bring it to the kohen. He sets it aside. The kohen comes to get it. So why are we saying that v'chol truma l'chol kodesh Bnei Yisrael, asher yakrivu, that all of these holy things, which the Israelite, brings to the kohen, if it's truma, the kohen has to come get the truma. Not the other way around. V'haloi, Rabbi Shmuel asks, after all, who hamechazer achareha? It is the kohen who has to seek these things out. Bebeis agronis, he has to go down to the threshing grounds. Another Shavuot theme. Uma Talmud loymar, what then is the meaning? Asher akrivu l'kohen. What is the meaning of that he will bring it to the kohen? In other words, the verbiage, the language that the Torah uses here, asher yakrivu l'kohen, seems to indicate that we speak about a type of truma that the Israelite has to make the effort of bringing to the kohen. And this seems very strange because, broadly speaking, as a rule, the kohen comes and gets the truma, not the other way around. So therefore, Rashi explains, quoting the teaching of Rabbi Yishmael, Elo Abikurim, this is not the normative, typical truma that's separated from the harvest. This is the firstling fruit. The firstling fruit, which is also called truma, because it's also lifted, separated from everything else. Shenemar Bahem, about the Bikurim, it has already been stated. And this goes all the way back to Exodus 23. All the way back to Parshas Mishpatim. There in the 19th verse it says, Reishis Bikuri Ad Mascha, the firstling fruit of your land. The Torah says, Tovi Beis Hashem Elekecha. You have to bring it to the house of Hashem your God. What's the house of Hashem your God? The Beis HaMikdash. So here it says, Tovi, you have to bring it. Not that the Kohen goes to your home and says, do you have any truma for me? I'll be happy to receive it. No, you have to take the truma and bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. So we find there are numerous examples actually in the Torah where truma is bikurim are referred to as truma. And that's what's going on here. Now Rashi says, okay, so now I understand that the whole truma refers to bikurim. And this is how do we know it's bikurim? Because it says asher yakrivu l'kohen, that he brings it to the kohen. But ve'ein yedea ma yi'asa bahem, I still don't know what to do with this bikurim. I know I have to bring the firstling fruit to the Beis HaMikdash, but then what happens? The Torah doesn't tell us. It says, bring them to the Beis HaMikdash. That's what the Torah says in Parshas Mishpatim. Right after Matan Torah, we get laws. And one of the laws we get is that all of the firstling fruit, Tovi Beis Hashem Alekecha. And then, after I bring it there, what happens? The Torah doesn't say. So that's what happened in Exodus, in Chumash Shemais. Talmud Leimar. Here, the Torah in Chumash Bamidbar, in Parshas Nasi, is teaching me that that firstling fruit, which I must bring to the Beis HaMikdash, here it's being spoken of a second time. Earlier, we did not explain what you do with it. We just said you have to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. Now we're saying that V'chol Truma, meaning all the Bikurim, La Koyen Lo Yihyeh, it should be for the Koyen. It's the question, what you do with it? I bring it there, and then what? And then you give it to the Kohen. And it becomes his. Ve'limeid al habikurim. This then serves as a lesson for bikurim, sheyiyo nitonim la'kohen, that they should be given to the Kohen. In other words, the Torah speaks about bikurim twice. The first time is in the book of Shmos, in Parshas Mishpatim. And there the Torah tells me simply, you have to take the bikurim, bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, taken care of. And then, the Torah comes along in Parshas Nasi and says, V'chol Truma. And I learned that this V'chol Truma refers not to Truma because it's Asher Yakrivu, that you have to bring. So here the Torah is filling in the rest of the details. Earlier I knew you bring Bikurim, but I don't know what you do with Bikurim. Now the Torah says, La Koyen Lo Yiyah. It will be for the Koyen. A logistical nightmare.
Everybody brings it at the same time. They all line up.
It was a beautiful thing. There's a, There's a marvelous description in the book of Yosefon where he's an eyewitness account of Bikurim being brought. Didn't only come on Shavuot. Many of the Bikurim weren't ready by Shavuot. A whole summer long, people brought Bikurim. There were throngs coming to the Beis HaMikdash, and people would gather, and the group would get bigger and bigger as they got closer to Yerushalayim, and they would have special accommodations, and then they would come to Yerushalayim, and they would have a parade, and the people of Yerushalayim would come out, and they would greet them, and said, Achai Ma'ayan Atem, where you're coming from, and they would sing Hallel and go together onto the Har HaBayis. Everybody would carry the fruit on his own shoulder. It's a beautiful thing. It went on a whole summer long. The last of Bikurim is brought to Sukkot, and that's when you could still come and you can read the formula. But if you didn't get to bring it, you could still bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, but you can't read the formula all the way to Hanukkah. So this is the story of Bikurim. So the Rebbe helps us understand this in a very beautiful way. I'm going to direct your attention to the Birurim book, and for the balance of this morning, we're going to focus on not one, but two details of a longer rumination. Page Samach Zayin. We'll start off here with Simen Tes. Then we'll go into Simen Yud. So the first thing that Rebbe points out here is that Divrei Rabbi Yishmoel Kan, the words, the teachings of Rabbi Yishmoel that are quoted here, Him Behesem L'Shitosi HaKlolos. This follows the general approach of Rabbi Yishmoel. What was Rabbi Yishmoel's method of biblical exegesis? He said, and this is a direct quote from Rabbi Yishmoel in numerous places, like for example in Masechet Sota, Masechet Zvachim, and elsewhere. Rabbi Yishmoel taught, he said, Klolot Nemru B'Sinai. The general principles were articulated at Sinai. The general principles. Upratois, but the details were B'Ohel Moed. The details were in the tent of meeting. So the general principle at Har Sinai. Moshe Rabbeinu got the whole Torah. In those 40 days and 40 nights, he got the whole Torah. The whole Torah was given to him. All the ideas of Torah. But the details. How do you do these mitzvahs? How exactly do you fulfill? Those? For that, you take a look and you see the psukim, the verses that were detailed afterwards said to Moshe Rabbeinu in the Mishkan. So we say, Bahar Sinai doesn't always mean Bahar Sinai. Bahar Sinai means in the Sinai Desert adjacent to the mountain. That's really what it means. So it's a question of Bahar Sinai on the mountain itself or what came afterwards. Rabbi Shmuel says there was the general principles that were delivered Bahar Sinai, Klolos, and then Pratis, the details that came B'Ohel Moed in the Tent of Meeting, that came subsequently in the Sinai Desert as Hashem would speak to Moshe Rabbeinu on a regular basis in the Ohel Moed, in the Tent of Meeting, in the Mishkan. So that fits perfectly. It fits perfectly with Rabbi Shmuel's approach. B'sefer Shmois, in the book of Exodus, Shom Mefias Mitzvahs Kfisha Nemer L'Moshe Bar Sinai. Parshas Mishpatim follows Parshas Yisro. Parshas Yisro has the details of Matan Torah. In fact, on the first day of Shavuot, what did we read from? Parshas Yisro. We read Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And then after Anochi Hashem Elokecha, after Matan Torah, after Har Sinai, the details show up where? Here in Parshas Naso. So Har Sinai, Klolos. First thing, fruits, bring them to Jerusalem. Okay, what do I do with them? Oh, we'll get to that. First is the klolos. First is the general principle. The general principle is articulated with Har Sinai. And then Paratos, that comes afterwards. That was given to Moshe Rabbeinu later on. And that's exactly what happens here. In Parshas Mishpatim it says, Reishis bikurei admoscha tovi beis Hashem elikecha. Your firstling fruits, what should you do with them? Bring them to Hashem's house. We don't know what to do with it yet. We just know bring it to Hashem's house. And then, here, Ilu b'Parsha Seinu, in our Parsha, Parshas Nasi, Shenemra, where was this said? B'Ohel Moed. This is B'Ohel Moed. Because if you take a look in the beginning of Chumash Bamidbar, what does it say? Chumash Bamidbar opens up with the words, V'yidaber Hashem Moshe, B'Midbar Sinai, B'Ohel Moed. God spoke to Moshe in the Sinai Desert, in a tent of meeting. It makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense that the idea of Bikurim would have been introduced at Har Sinai, at Matan Torah, articulated in Parshas Mishpatim. It makes perfect sense that the details are only going to show up here in Parshas Nasai, which is Bamidbar Sinai, but Be'ohel Moed, in the tent of meeting, in the subsequent transmissions that God gave to Moses when he would walk into the Mishkan and he would hear the teachings, the details of what Hashem expects of us, the halachas, the mitzvahs of the Torah. So that's the first thing. First thing is that Rashi's commentary begins Amar Rabbi Yishmael. The Rebbe says, this is in perfect corollary with the Shita, the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael. Now let's go further into the next Simen Yud. Mitzvah Savos HaBikurim. The mitzvah of bringing Bikurim, Koilelas then includes Efer Shnei Shlavim. There seem to be two phases in the fulfillment of this mitzvah. Shlav HaRishon, phase one. Phase one is Bikurim Muvoim El Beis HaMikdash. Phase one is your first fruit. You're a farmer, you worked hard, you toiled, you irrigated, you weeded, you did everything necessary. You pruned, you prepared. All winter long, you're preparing the trees so that when spring will come and the blossoms appear, it should be the healthiest way, the most successful way, and that beautiful fruits should come to your trees and then reach maturation. Yevaldik, beautiful. And this is what I'm waiting for a whole winter long, 6 months, 7 months, 8 months. No little profit. I opened this business. I put all of this investment. I worked so hard to see some profit. Well, so far, I got a tree. That's all I get. And then I get blossoms, candy petals. But I mark the first blossoms, and I'm really excited. These petals will eventually fall off. A bulb will be revealed, and that bulb will reach the level of fruit. And then it's going to fill in. And then it's going to be a full fruit. And I can't wait to finally eat the fruits of my labors, quite literally. And the Torah comes along and says, not so fast. You finally got some fruit. Now the first thing you should do, bring it to Hashem's house. First thing. It doesn't say what to do with it. First thing, bring it to Hashem's house. As Rashi says, I don't know what you do with it. I know you bring it to God's house. Then there's phase two. B'shlav Hasheni, we say, okay, now you brought it to Hashem's house. Very good. Now you give it to the Kohen. So why does it come in two phases like that? The first phase is bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. And they will put the fruit in the basket on the shoulder, and they would sing these songs, Mimcha Hashem Kidli Sani, and they would then come onto the Beis HaMikdash, and the Kohen would stand there, and they would read this formula, which is articulated in Parshas Kisavai. It's beautiful. Fantastic. And you raise your voice up. You say, Arami Evid Avi, they try to destroy us, and they didn't succeed, and here I am, and I'm singing Hashem's praises. Givaldik. And then, there's phase two. It's a little less dramatic. It's a little less fun. Now take that basket and give it to the Kohen. So why does it come in two phases? So the Rebbe says, there's an amazing lesson in Avodas Hashem here. Mitzvahs habikurim koileles b'teicha mashmor srechova yeser. The mitzvah of bikurim is not about fruit only. This is not just something that was relevant in antiquity for Israeli farmers living 2,000 years ago. No. This is a broad lesson with regard to tzedakah, giving away. Nobody likes to give the money away, especially when you work really hard, especially when you toiled and put such an effort into this business and made every investment, and now you finally are getting some kind of yield. You finally see some kind of profit. So biyachas l'matan tzedakah b'chlal, which is, it talks to us about tzedakah. And it says, kishem shem mitzvah habikurim doireshes meha'odom lohavi el beis hamikdash. Just like the mitzvah of bikurim demands of a person, take your first fruit, gather it together, put it in a basket, and then hit the road and go to the beis hamikdash. And that's what has to happen. The first fruit you have to give away. And these are not the last fruit, the leftover fruit, the fruit I can't sell anyway. No. These are the delicious. This is the first thing. This is the mufchorim. This is the choices to select. Shetzamchu la'achar shehushku behem amorav. You put so much effort and work into it. Kach olav la'hafel shetzedakah b'ayin yofa. That's how you give tzedakah. You don't first spend on all the things you like to spend on. First, you have your basic needs. You pay your bills. Then you take care of your luxury. Then you take care of the extra stuff. And after you finish paying for your season's tickets at the Raptors, and which is, maybe that's mamash a basic need. That's like a, that's almost as important as your rent or your lease. And you have your wheels in place. You have a nice car and you have a nice home. And you have your bills paid for. And like I said, all of the luxury. Then I have to get some tzedakah also. Yeah. No, that's not the Yiddish approach. The Yiddish approach is, the first thing I do, I give tzedakah. I once asked a fellow years ago if he could contribute. I remember what we were raising money for. He says to me, "Are you crazy?" He said, "Are you crazy?" I said, "I don't think so." He says, "I'm not rich." This guy's a physician, lives in a beautiful home, swimming pool, the whole jazz. He says, "I'm not rich." I'm like, "What do you mean?" He says, "Tzedakah's for rich people, you know, the people who are worth tens of millions, hundreds of millions. You know, the big UGA givers, that's who gives tzedakah." "I don't give tzedakah," he said. "Well, tzedakah's for people who have extra money." "I don't have extra money." I'm like, "Two vacations a year, a swimming pool. You drive three cars. What do you mean you don't have extra money? All these things are unnecessary. It could be you even have season tickets to the Raptors for all I know." So in his mind, that's tzedakah is when you have people who have too much money that they can't spend anymore. You own a private plane already. Now what are you going to do? Okay, now you have to take care of the UGA campaign. You have to officially be part of the who's who. But regular people? I don't give tzedakah. Who gives tzedakah? That's not for me. He said, "My dear friend, do whatever you want, but you have it all wrong. You have it all wrong. You don't want to help us? That's fine, don't help us. But you have it all wrong. Tzedakah's for every yid. Yid is tzedakah every day. You toil, you work an effort, and then you write a check for tzedakah. That's what you're supposed to do. That's the first thing you do, not the last thing you do. But that's the message of Bikurim. The message of Bikurim is first thing fruit, first profits, now give tzedakah. And you give ma'atov, or ma'amuvchar. You give from the finest, you give from the best. Shev pri amalei, the effort you put in. Af al af ha'omel harav she'eshkiyah behem. Despite the fact you put so much effort, and now you want to say, "Let me enjoy," despite the fact that that's the case, you're told, first thing is give tzedakah. But Elashakan also say to Kushi. Here it gets a little dicey. Here's where it gets hard for people. As long as you tell me I should give to something of communal needs, give to the Beit HaKnesset, give to the Shul, give to the Yeshiva, give to the House of Torah Study. All right, fine. The person could swallow that. Humaven Sheroi, he understands as a yid, Shahamativ, Shabin Chosav, that the finest of his residuals, Yeshamish Latsarchi Kedusha, should be used for a holy purpose. But then there's another kind of tzedakah. The tzedakah of your neighbor who's a loser, who didn't take care of his things, who lost his investments, and now he's struggling to pay his mortgage. And you say, "I gotta pay his mortgage?" Then pay his own mortgage. The guy doesn't have any money. That's my problem, he doesn't have any money. He's a schlepper, let him be a schlepper. I have to be responsible for schleppers. Why do I have to give him money? You want to tell me I should give communal things, give big projects, believe in Yiddishkeit, Jewish tomorrow? Fine. That I could buy into. But a person, an individual, my hard-earned money, why should my hard-earned money to go to his pocket? Why should my hard-earned money pay his bills? Adam prati, tzedakah la'aniyim l'nitzrachim, people who are in poverty, people who are needy. Allah Yetzahara, litin clap of the Yetzahara comes along and he says, "Lo malach lahanik lani esateva muvchar." If he's a schlepper, give him like a schlepper deserves. You give him the leftover. Tell him to come next month, next week, next year, whatever. You'll find something for him. You give him the change you have left over. How does he have rights to my bank account? More than I have rights to my bank account. I should take care of him. The leftovers I'll give him. But actually, that's not the halacha. The halacha is when you give somebody who is in poverty, what do you give? The finest and the best. As much as you take care of yourself. And this is what the Torah tells us, teaches us with the mitzvah of Bikurim. Lesson one, take the Bikurim and bring them. Beis HaMikdash. Okay, Beis HaMikdash, I can relate to that. It's a big, magnificent edifice, Hashem's home. And then take the basket and give it to the Kohen. That guy? Yeah, that guy. Like, just because he doesn't have any orchards, just because he's a Kohen, I have to give him my fruit? I'll give him the leftovers. I'll give him the fruit when I'm finished at the end of the season. No. Give him the first fruit. That's the lesson of tzedakah. Adam has to firstly, I bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. And that reminds you, your money is not yours. It's a gift from Hashem. Shayachim laKadosh Baruch Hu. Tovi Beis Hashem alikecha. Bring it to Hashem's house. Ayaz, but then, la'acherei shetachder beliba yakar azu. After you got this message, after you downloaded that email, and you made sure its contents became a part of your hard drive, you say, it's not my money. It belongs to God. Let it be not difficult in your eyes. L'shlav haba, come to phase two. And phase two, it's not a big fancy tzedakah. It's not something that's communal or holy. No. It's just a plain old guy. It doesn't have any fruit. Because he's a kohen. La says it's a bikurim. Then you take his bikurim and you hand it off. La kohen. La haver es tzedakah liyada asefi. Then the tzedakah gets delivered to its final destination. With this, it's giving the Beis HaMikdash the same as tithing. No, he came a little late. In the beginning, we explained that tithing is tithing, and truma is truma, and bikurim is bikurim, and they're all unique and different. This we have to bring to the Beis HaMikdash. All right, shine.